For once, we get to go straight in translation, okay? Oh, anybody want to transcribe that pitch last week about the flow of the hall?
Yeah.
Do you want to? Oh, it's not that. Okay. You don't have too much work. Let me see someone, Nicole, maybe Nicole, yeah. It's the, just the part that was for the New York Times lady. She said, was that for me? I said, why? But, like, the whole flow of what we do from start to finish. Okay. Okay, we're going to read together? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Not plugged in. Oh, this one. Where's it? Because... over here? Okay. First line together. And the team.
Now the monsoon gives light and makes a time day.
Okay. We had this already. Now it is the case that there does exist a. The third tongue is what I want.
Huh?
Yeah, but then they lose.
An
ink seer, right? Incoming seer. What do you want to call somebody who sees, who believes things are coming this way?
That is.
We said those who see things coming out.
In the mind of a. This exists. You want to call it a yogic direct perception? Is that right? We decided yoga is okay because today we got a JC Crew email that was addressed to all yoginis. Yeah, and they're into yoga class now. I don't know if it's plugged in. It's giving, is it plugged in down there? The power? Because it's not giving it. It's giving. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's still giving me a lot. I don't think it is plugged. Oh, okay. Alright. That there does exist a yoga direct perception in the mind of a person who thinks that things coming at them. Okay? Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3.
Nyerlengi Pongbo Ni Dakpa Munsum Du Dope Sir Tom Yewe.
Okay. And that's because there does exist a person who thinks that things are kind of dumb, who perceives that the parts to them that they. What? What's in your name? Is that. You said Nyerlengi Gyu last time. Do you remember what that was? Take, that they took on at birth, okay? So it's not the Nyerlengi and Nyerlengi Gyu, okay? That the person that they took on at birth, that they took on at birth, are
change,
something that changes, or things that change, right? Or changing things, right?
Well, there's something that changes.
Yeah. Okay. What would you say? Do they really see impermanence? Do they really see that things are changing?
No.
Into constant flux, right? We would say Mayim, no. We'd say Wai Chi Chi, or we'd say no, right? They don't. We'd say, if you want to know, we'd say Meh. You know? Meh. Say Meh.
Meh.
There is no such person. And then he. we come back with. Okay. What are the first two words? Are we going to go up or down? Yeah, because we believe it. Okay? It's something we do believe. We are the ones trying to prove that someone who hasn't seen emptiness directly can have a yogic direct perception anyway. Okay? Alright, so there. Let's go. One, two, three.
There, Tao. 我佛让心美巴多巴拉玛德巴拉贝米达索智度我孙度多贝卡萨耶雷。That
is so the case because there does exist a kamsa, meaning there does exist a person who, without maktapa, without relying on a perception, that nupo can mean functional thing or it can mean things in general. Baba. In Sanskrit. So, is there any special reason here why he'd be more specifying things that do something than things in general?
Talk about changes.
Yeah, good. So I think we do have to translate it as something that does something, functional thing, okay? Because it may be pertinent to the argument, because the argument is something about its
Vidatta,
the fact that it changes constantly. And lupos are all vidatta, and vidattas are all. Can you say that? Is everything that change do something? Does everything that changes do something?
Yes, yes.
And does everything that does something change?
Yes, yes.
So that we call yin kyap nyam, say yin kyap nyam. They are equal in their coverage, in their. They are what you could concomitant. They're the same set of things. Okay, without relying on a perception that things which do something have no nature of their own can still perceive directly. The rakpa. Yeah, the gross form of the 16 aspects of. Yeah, changing and so on. We talked about some of that. What are the 16 aspects of what? Yeah, the four are truths, okay? The four are truths. So after you see emptiness directly on the same day within the next 24 hours, you see the truth of four different things. And that has always been mistranslated as the four noble truths, but it's really Arya-sattva. It's the four Arya truths. Because you only see them when you've seen emptiness directly. In there, Tamil? Subtle form. Okay? But what he's saying is you can perceive them in their rakpa form without relying on having had a direct perception that things that do something don't have any nature of their own. Okay? Which is to say emptiness. Alright? We'll say it one more time. A person who just came out of the direct perception of emptiness in the next 24 hours, we'll have four extraordinary realizations about pain, where it comes from, how to stop it, and the fact that it will stop. They have these four extraordinary realizations. They see, in a way that no one else can ever see, that pain has a reason and that it will end in the world. Okay, And then they see four aspects to each one of those facts. Like the fact that things hurt has four different aspects to it. One of them happens to be mitapa, which is what? That things change naturally, right? One part of realizing that the world is pain is to realize that you lose everything and everything changes to something else, right? So mitapa is one of the four aspects of the noble truth of suffering, which is one of the four, arya truths. And so you get 16 aspects, okay? So this person hasn't seen those 16 aspects directly in their subtle form, because he hasn't seen emptiness, or she hasn't seen emptiness directly. But what he's saying is they can have a perception of the gross fact that things are changing. Okay? And people do, right? Your mother dies. It's usually with your mother. Okay? Your mother dies, and then in the next 24 hours, you suddenly believe all this stuff. You suddenly perceive that things do change for the first time. You can sit in Dharma class for year after year and hear it, but when your mom dies, within 24 hours, you have this pretty solid, gross perception of the fact that things change. Okay? And what kind of perception is he saying that is?
Yogic.
He's saying it's a yogic direct perception. Yeah. It's of a rough object. It's not of a subtle object. But it qualifies as yogic. So somehow, this person is nonetheless in a state of deep meditation. They have perceived that things change in a rough way, but in a deep state of meditation, almost in a clairvoyant way. So it's not just the mom dying thing, it's deeper. He's perceived it in a deep state of meditation, but it's not a result of just having seen emptiness. Okay? That's wrong look. Okay? Why? You could either prove it by Lung or Rigpa. What's that? Jampa Lungrik. What's his name mean? Yeah, logic or scriptural authority. You know, you could prove it. He doesn't choose to prove it by logic. He's going to quote somebody, which is usually not what we would prefer. But anyway, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Nam she le tong sin kong ba che ba ni mi on she ko wo cha Mi mao she sun So it's a book called Namshe, and there's lots of Namshes, okay? Namshe just means perfect explanation or something. So we have to go look for which Namshe it is, okay? But I'm more interested in this sentence. Tong means what?
To see.
Sin means what? Sin is the past perfect marker in all Tibetan sentences. They don't, if you notice, they don't really, what do you call it? What do you do to verbs? They don't conjugate verbs. Declined nouns, I think. They don't conjugate verbs, normally, to some extent. So to get a really past perfect, like it did happen in the past, and it has been concluded in the past, they say sin, which is the past tense of, after we just said they don't conjugate verbs, nzin, to hold. So sin means held, meaning it happened already. Okay, it's held in the past or something. Although there's classes where they say there's no past or future or anything. We're not confused like that. Okay, namshe, tong sin. What I like is the next word. It's what? Wait, say it once nicely. Kong. Kong. Say kong. 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 What are you doing tonight? Like that. No, really. Okay? It's kong. Say it. You got to do your eyebrows. Okay, good. Gom. Because gom, say it with an S in front of it, skom, right? Or biskom, it means what?
to meditate. But this is not at all that word. This is calm. Calm means what? Calm means get used to something, right? Calm means get used to something. And it's the reason why Gom Lam is called Gom Lam. Okay? What's calm? Calm means to be thirsty, okay? And like that. So you gotta be careful, okay? You can't mix up calm and go, okay? You'll get used to it. Alright. 동심 gom. That's the essence of it's the essence of the fourth path. Gatte, gatte, paragatte, parasangatte. It's the parasangatte. It's the essence of parasangatte. What is that? 동심 gomba. What? You get accustomed, or you get used to what you sawed. Yeah, like deafening path. During Tonglang. Okay? Tongsin. Okay, so that's if you want someone asked you what's the definition of Gomlam, you can almost say Tongsin Gomba. You know, getting used to what you saw. Seeing takes 10 to 20 minutes. Gomba takes 7 lifetimes. Typically. Within 7 lifetimes. Okay? How do you get used to what you saw? What's that mean to get used to what you saw? What's an example of getting used to what you saw?
Recollecting it.
Huh?
Recollecting it.
No, but in a real example, real life example. What would be an example?
Like memorizing something?
Knowing where the boss's red face came from.
That's good. What'd you say?
Knowing where the boss's red face came from.
Yeah, knowing where someone who's angry at you came from. That was the example I was going to give, right? So, yeah. So before you saw emptiness directly, people were unpleasant to you, and you fought back, or you talked back, or you got bitter at them, or, you know? Somehow. And then after you saw emptiness directly, you start to get bitter, you start to get angry, you start to talk back, and then you start getting used to the idea that they came from you. That's Tong Sin Kong. Getting used to the idea that they are coming from you. And the only way you can deal with them is stop being angry yourself. Right? The only practical way to deal with them is to stop being angry yourself. And that takes a lot of what? Calm. Calm. That takes 7 lifetimes. Calm. Because you're fighting countless, billions of lifetimes of fighting back and getting angry back and saying something back. And even if you don't, holding it in and being mad at them. Right? You're fighting billions of lifetimes of that. Then even after you see emptiness, kom sin, tong sin kom, you have to keep reviewing what you grasped. And then slowly you will stop your mental afflictions and then you'll reach Miloblam. Say Miloblam. Path of no more learning, right? The fifth path. Okay? Alright. Tong sin komba chepa ni. Okay? Tong sin komba chepa ni. Mio. What's om mean? That's yiyom. You're thinking of yiyom. How about chirmiyom? To come. In colloquial? Yom. Okay, yom. In scriptural? Om. Okay? Miyom, she. Tongsin gomba chepa ni. Getting used to what you saw won't happen. It won't come. Quote, she. Okay? Ko jak means us guys. Ko-jak is specifically us guys. Mima. Mima. We don't say that. It's a double negative. It's hard to translate. You know, the Tibetan philosophy in general has a lot of double negatives. You got to get used to this one. We don't say that it won't come by getting used to what you saw. We don't say that it won't come by getting used to what you saw. Okay? That's supposed to prove what?
Will come.
No, no, no. What's he using in scriptural proof of his last statement, which I have cleverly put out of your view? How many minutes do you retain the last sentence?
That someone
yeah.
Has time.
Someone who
sees things coming at them has had the
yes.
direct yogic perception.
Because they
understand.
That was 2 sentences ago. Because they do see the changing which is one of the 16 aspects of the four iron truths that they don't perceive directly, but they perceive it roughly. Okay? So this is supposed to prove that. Okay? Prove that a guy who hasn't seen emptiness does see a rough form of one of the 16 things that an Arya sees. Because the book said, we don't say that it won't come by getting used to what you saw. What would you do at this point if you were a responsible translator? Find it and see if there's any context, see if anybody ever said anything that makes it a little more clear. That's what I would try. We kept... I was looking for that. Okay. I kept all these searches going on the way down. I think this one's available. Oh, yeah. I don't want to get rid of any of these. The question is, how many of these can you have up at one time before the computer blows up? It's sort of a challenge. Okay. We're going to look for Tongsin. Actually, let's look for something. What? Are you going to look for the, or a, or it, or... You look for something that's ko jak mi ma. Then you look for a couple pieces. Mi on she ko. Or che pa ni mi on. Okay, you look for three little pieces of it, alright? Where? Will you look in ancient India? Will you look in Tibet? I think it's Jetson Kappa's own commentary, so we'll start a search. A lot of times when I do a search might take 5 minutes on a slow ancient computer. And I usually just do something else while I'm waiting, okay? Those other two searches, one has been going on since Friday, I think. That one. And that's the mantra we told you we couldn't find and we found it. But anyway. Let's go a little bit more. We'll go a little bit more and then we'll see if Bill Gates has found it. This is not the quotation we're looking for, so we're going to skip that one. Okay, we'll keep that one around. That's Lama Christi and Sampai Chow. Okay. She keeps saying it's not, but I saw on the web that it probably was. But anyway, this is nice. Okay, this is nice. We found a quotation, okay? We found a place where it's quoted. I'm just going to translate it, okay? Dila Sheva Jate, I will explain this point. Dekona ni ki tawa ma ni kyang. Even though a person may not have achieved the view of suchness, mitakso chudu seme tenla pepatam, they still have the capacity to gain an understanding through some kind of correct perception of the 16 aspects of changing, etc. Okay? Why? Oh, they have that capacity. And they do jan nam ki. If that type of person, dun de tsumba chenbu gomba dam, if they can continue to meditate on gom, right, not gom, if they continue to meditate on that fact, which is what? Things change. Things are changing. Everything's changing. Everything's in flux, right? If they continue to meditate on that fact, right? With great tsumba, with great effort, if they really work hard to meditate on that fact, what? when things are in flux. They will be able to see directly the gross form of the fact that people are not people. Okay? That people don't have any nature of their own. And dang tongsim gombal chepa ni, and they will be able to then meditate on what they saw. So what's he saying? What's this Namche saying? With the whole quotation, right? The whole quotation is saying this. There are people who get a glimpse of what changing means deeply, right? They get a glimpse. They work hard on that glimpse of what they saw. Then they can, that can lead them to the direct perception of emptiness. And then they can accustom themselves to what they saw. You get it? It's a three-part process that the quotation is talking about. There are people who come to a yogic understanding of the fact that things are in constant flux. If they work hard on that, constantly, meditating on that, that can pull them up to the direct perception of emptiness, right? And if that happens, then they can kom tong simba kom. What? Then they can get used to what they saw during the direct perception of emptiness. Okay? Then he says, mi on ko jak mi ma means what? Mi on ko jak mi ma. We don't say that that can't happen. Got it? Doesn't happen. Can't happen. We don't say that it can't happen, that if you work hard on the fact that things are in flux, you can use that as a stepping stone to see emptiness directly and then get used to what you saw. Meaning, goma, path of habituation. What he's trying to say is, we don't say that it's not useful to meditate deeply on flux. The fact that everything is in flux, because that will suddenly flop you into emptiness. And then that will flop you into that whole process of the guy with the red face after you see emptiness. So meditating on the fact that things are in constant flux becomes almost a Bokjimba meditation. I mean, it almost becomes an emptiness meditation. It's a worthy meditation for people who want to see emptiness directly. Why? It throws you into it. Okay? It can throw you into the direct perception of emptiness. Meditating on how things are in constant flux. A person who wants to see emptiness directly would do well to constantly contemplate how relationships are constantly changing, you know, weather is constantly changing, all your stuff is getting older all the time, breaking, mouse breaking, you know, your body getting wrinkles, you know. If you're interested in seeing emptiness directly, it's not, we don't say that it's stupid to meditate on something that's not related to emptiness directly, which is what? The fact that things are in constant flux. Okay? And then you get that, what's the last verse of the Diamond Cutter? You two Diamond Cutter teachers.
Life's an illusion, a bubble.
Yeah, mame dani rabirik, you know, milam dani gyume dani. Gyume, milam gyume kame dani, milam dani rabirik dani. Nilam lok tam chintabu, duche chinam le tak tam. Something like that. But anyway, then there's a debate about that last verse, because it's talking about stars which fade from the sky, and that's impermanence, right? That's flux. But then it talks about illusion, which is talking about emptiness. So he's mixing, in the final verse of the Dhammakara, Lord Buddha is mixing two teachings. What?
Impermanence and
emptiness. Yeah, flux and illusion and emptiness. So that's an example that he thought they were brother and sister. You know, meditate on, if you're too tired to do a Bokjimba meditation, you know, and you faked your journal already, then you could meditate on how old you're getting and stuff like that, and it would still be useful for seeing emptiness. Okay? We don't say that it wouldn't be useful. Got it? We don't say that it wouldn't be useful. Why are we on this subject? Do you remember what we did last week and the last term? Let's see if there's any really smart student in this class who can link this to everything that's been going on. Yeah, we talked about the first emptiness you see is the emptiness, but then there were two debates in there. There were two questions came up. About who? About what? Well, somebody came, yeah, the mind-only view of what emptiness means. And then the lower view, it's actually an Abhidharma view of what emptiness means. The driver and the crane idea, and the loose schoolboy cookie. And the perception of idea. The cookie which had partless atoms in it. Right? And we said, why would a mind-only person get up and talk about the loose schoolboy cookie that has partless atoms in it, and him not coming from a separate seed from the loose schoolboy cookie with partless atoms in it? Why would a mind-only person phrase it that way? Because there's people that do think that loose schoolboy cookies are made of atoms and chemicals. They believe that. What's this cookie made of? You say sharing, they'll laugh at you. You know, they'll say, no, it's potassium and, you know, chloride and, you know, chocolate atoms. And it's got to be on the periodic chart. I'll get that. But anyway, right? So it's useful. The theme has been, it's useful to use what? Lower meditation. It's useful to use lower meditations. It's even useful to not even think about emptiness and just think about flux. You see, that's where he's going. Over the course of the months, that's where he's going, right? He says, look, there's all these other ways you can, stepping stones, there's the six flavors of Mahamudra. You could forget Mahamudra, you can go all the way down to just basic change. And it would, we don't say that that wouldn't help you. Got it? It's beautiful. Where he's brilliant. I mean, his mind is, he's weaving in all these beautiful things, you know? Okay? So anyway, now you know what the quotation means. Do we help our readers? You know? Do we stick our readers? Let's translate this. So the perfect explanation, and that's true, because the perfect explanation says, we don't say that it won't come. I'm sorry, we don't say that getting used to what you saw won't come. Dot, dot, dot. Are you going to leave him with that? I mean, I don't know. It's a translator's dilemma, you see. If you really research every single part of the ritual for taking yourself into retreat, I mean, the class will go on till 2 or 3 in the morning. And or do you just, you know, decide, well, enough is enough, you know, like you can't tell them everything. If he had wanted to make a 1,000-page book, he would have. He didn't. He made a shorter book. So what do you do, you know? What would you do? Huh? Give him some help? Yeah, anyone who will buy this book is in this room, that's true. It's not going to be a big money maker. Why don't we do it like this? You can do it like translators. Things change, okay? And then whoever, it'll make sense for people. Got it? Okay. Right? Say, right.
Right.
What time do they need a snack or anything? I don't know. 15 more minutes, hang in there. Okay. One, two, three. Kachi ki kyaban du jeki guna ki ni tappa unsun du tope tsutong yupa. Who's talking?
Somebody else.
Yeah, somebody else. And if another guy blurts in something at this point, would he be saying, A, it is so true that, or would he be saying, oh, so are you telling me that?
The latter.
The latter, right? Right? I mean, he's 99% chance he's going to come and say, Oh, yeah. So are you telling me that, okay, in that case you have to go, Yabar, say, okay, let's do the last part again. Yabar, are you telling me that, okay, someone comes and says, then you start a little, you know, insert. Okay. Are you telling me that there exists a turtle, a person who believes that things are coming at them, who has Munsun Dutopa? Yeah, who also directly perceives impermanence in the form of, yeah, say, Kheba Dujegi Dunya. Kheba Dujegi Dunya. It's interesting, even in the Hindu scriptures, in the Upanishads, there's a part where they go, Shanti, 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 right? And that's in yoga classes nowadays. You know, people have no idea why, but it's Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. It means peace, peace, peace. But what it means is, may three different problems be put to rest in the Upanishads. It's Shanti, 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 meaning put to rest in peace. May we kill three different problems, right? And what are they? They're dunyal sum, the three forms of suffering. Okay? Even in the Upanishads. So, what are the three forms of suffering? What's number one? Say in Tibetan. Say dunyal ki dunya. Dunyal ki dunya. The pain of outright pain. Okay. And what's the scriptural example? A backache or a headache? Okay. Where's Christine? She's having a nice headache today. Anyway, maybe she's having it in the car. Dunya ki dunya. And the classic scriptural example is a backache or a headache. Okay. Then second one? Into bad. Say Gyorwe dunya. Gyorwe dunya. The suffering of constant change. And what's the example in scripture?
Partnership?
Could be, but that has, what is the example? I say what? Yeah, no, the scripture says a good dinner, the taste of a good dinner. That's what scripture says. Okay? It doesn't say the changing of a good taste of a dinner. It says the good taste of a dinner is suffering. You know, a good dinner is suffering. Right? It doesn't say that it, when it changes, or it doesn't add any word like that. It just says the taste of a good dinner is suffering, of change. Why? Because it must inevitably lose it and then change to hunger. In my case, like instantly. And then you want more, you know, and it's just pain, okay? So it just changes. Then what's the last kind of suffering? Kaba Dujegi Dunya. Which means pervasive suffering. the suffering which pervades all changing things. Okay, I better write that down for forget. In the form of suffering which pervades all changing things. What's the scriptural example?
A person.
Yeah, your mind and body. Your mind and body. The condition of your mind and body aging is the scriptural example. The condition of your the condition of your mind and body aging. Okay? So there comes a debate, then dunya ni mato me me eche. Say dunya
ni
mato
me me
eche. So there's only two kinds of suffering. Because your prime example of the third suffering is actually a case of the second suffering. Then what do you say? What do you say in debate? It's true that the third suffering is subsumed by the second suffering. That's true. But that doesn't mean there's only two kinds of suffering. Okay? Because the third one is so important that we let it stand on its own. Okay? The third one is so important that we let it stand on its own. It's one thing to talk about dinners. It's another thing to talk about your mind and body. The mind and body getting old is so important to us in our spiritual evolution that we better set that apart. Got it? Okay? Alright. So are they saying that, yeah. I'm sorry, yeah, that's right.
Well, I was talking with Rob about it before, and sometimes, like, when you do death and impermanence, like, it makes them more
sense. Yeah, it does.
So, maybe that's better here?
I like it that things change. Most of them say things change.
What was the question?
I used impermanence, which I'm always railing against, and sometimes I use it back for.
And then Chris said use death?
No, I use the fact that things change.
Oh, okay.
Okay? This brings me to a point. Because Subhuti has brought me to a point. Which Subhuti, I don't know. But if you want a nice meditation on the fact that things change or flux, to do that will help you see emptiness directly, right? Explore the difference between impermanent and changing. Explore the difference between impermanence and changing. Okay? If you want to try, to actually try a meditation on mitakpa or flux that will take you to emptiness, explore the difference. All ayas, just before they see emptiness directly, get insights into subtle mitakpa, subtle change. So what is that? What would be an example? Is this thing impermanent? So I'm going to use these three words, right? One is impermanent. Is this mouse impermanent? Yeah, because it will one day break. You see? Because it will one day break. In the parlance of the world, the way language is used in the world, they don't say this is impermanent because it's changing from moment to moment. They say this is impermanent because it will break one. It won't last forever. In normal English, you say it won't last forever, right? And we said that all mitakpas, all impermanent things, did something, had a function. What's the mouse do? It makes a little arrow go around on the screen. Okay, no, it has a function. Every time it moves the arrow, it gets older. And it changes. You see? It gets older and it changes. Every time it moves the arrow around, right? Is this ever changing?
Sure.
Yeah, from moment to moment it's ever changing. Does it have its own emptiness?
Yes.
What is that emptiness? The fact that it's not coming from me. Got it? Double negative. The fact that it's not coming from me, right?
Right.
Is its emptiness. Got it? Is that permanent or impermanent? Impermanent in the parlance of the world. Impermanent in the parlance of the world. Why? What did we say impermanent meant in the world? What was the other way we said it? One last permanent.
Karma will not run out.
Will its emptiness, can you say, Ted Lemon, of its emptiness, that it will last forever?
Yes.
Right. You absolutely can.
Yeah.
Why?
Because emptiness is dependent on the object.
Now this you have to, if you want to see emptiness through understanding vitakpa or change, get this one thing, okay? This will break. Okay? The mouse will break. The mouse will be destroyed. But its emptiness will... And when it's destroyed, what will happen to its emptiness? You have to say, you must say, if you're an almost Arya, you will understand that you have to say it will go out of existence. But it will not perish or be destroyed. Or, what was the English thing we said? Last forever. Okay? There's a difference between the way this stops and the way that its emptiness will pass out of existence. Will go out of existence. Okay? And you have to, if you really want to see emptiness through understanding flux, chew on that. It has something profound to do with why you can't call mitakpa impermanence. You know? I'll tell you a story. This is a true story, okay? Like, I was exploring these things, because I was studying Dura. And I, in this tiny little hut, really terrible little, like, a garage thing, in Howell, you know? And I was struggling with these ideas. And then I got that point about, I realized that impermanence was a wrong translation. And I wrote an essay in Tibetan to defend that idea. And I left it on the kitchen table, you know. And Ken Rinpoche and some other people, they were like, I heard them arguing, you know. I went up there and I said, where did this thing come from, you know? And I'm like, you know, I didn't say anything. And they're like, this is crazy, you know. You know, and it was really funny. And then finally I said, I wrote it, you know. And then they said, well, no, I said, I wrote it out, you know, and they said, well, where'd you get it from, you know, and I said, well, I made it up. And they said, no, you didn't make that up, you know, where'd you get that from, what book did you get that from, you know, like, no, I wrote it in Tibetan, you know, and it was really funny. But the example was a green card, because the green card was on our minds at that time, Rinpoche's green card. Every day we'd go out the mailbox and look for a green card for like 18 months. We were, you know, or else he'd have to leave the next day. We didn't know, you know. So is the green card impermanent, you know? And is its emptiness impermanent? Anyway, it was a beautiful thing. It was cool. So anyway, it's very true that if you work on that kind of thinking about flux or change or impermanence, it can lead you to see empty. Okay? That's a really cool that's in scripture. Okay. But if this person sees the rough form of one of the 16 aspects of the four Arya truths, are you implying that they can see directly the fact that things change in the sense that all things undergo a constant degeneration, you know? Kyabaduji gidunya. That all things undergo inevitable degeneration. Are you saying they see that directly? You know? Why? Why are you accusing me of that? Right? Chichir, the answer chichir would be what? Why are you accusing me of that? I never said that, you know? Okay? Alright? So it's always assumed that we say what? Chichu. Why are you saying I said that? Why are you saying I would say that? Would say what?
That
Are you saying they understand the third kind of suffering directly? Are you saying a person who hasn't seen emptiness directly can grasp the third kind of pain directly? Are you? Is that what you're saying? What did I say? I didn't say that. What did I say? Yeah, I just said they could grasp a rough kind of way that things are changing. That's all I said, but he's jumping to the next thing. Oh, then you must be saying that they see directly the third kind of suffering. Which is harder to see? I mean, this implies that this is harder to see, right? This implies that it's harder to really appreciate the third kind of suffering than it is to see that things in general change. Right? Would you agree? I think so. Yeah. I think we all suffer because we can't really appreciate the third kind of suffering. People wait for 3-year retreat. People don't sign up. Because somewhere in their back of their mind, they're like, I'll have time. You know? It's not the time yet for me like to disappear from the world. I still got stuff to do. You know? There's still things I haven't done yet. You know what I mean? In the back of your mind, it's like, I'll finish up this other thing and I'll catch you guys in a while. You know? So anyway. So if he said, are you telling me that they see the third kind of suffering directly? And then we say, teacher. I didn't say that. Why are you saying that? What would he say back to me? Because you said
they have a yogic perception
change. Good. Okay.
Sorry.
Good answer. Okay. Because according to you, I'd like to add, but I can't really. Because there does. Oh, we got it. This is still him, right? Because there does exist a person thinks that things are coming at them, who does also perceive directly the fact that the parts of them that they have taken on the birth are changing things. Okay. Okay. Are you telling me that people who haven't seen emptiness directly can really appreciate the third kind of suffering? We say, all I said was that people who didn't see emptiness directly yet could appreciate change. You know? That's all I said. Then he says, yeah, but It must be that they understand the third kind of suffering, because they've had this kind of yogic perception that you're talking about, right? And then we break down. Okay? Then we break down. We say, he says, you're nature. And we say, yeah, okay, duh. I mean, technically you don't say duh to chin. But then he say, duh. We say, duh, okay, all right. Okay, they do. Okay? A person who hasn't seen emptiness directly can really appreciate the third kind of suffering. Okay. Then he's like, dinner? Okay, right? Let's do it together. But you gotta do it with feeling, you know? He's like, I got it now. 1, 2, 3. You can't say tell with like a question mark, 3 question marks. Tell? Well, what's he saying? I mean, we just talked about what would an opponent say. It is true that, or would he be saying, are you saying that, what's more his mode? It's the sarcastic mode, so it's got to go, yama, ta. I think they need a snack. Who's a snack guy today? Oh yeah, let's do it. All right. So you can concentrate for a while because you know snacks are coming. Dana? We have to indent, right? Because it's still him. So if you agree to that, if you do agree to that, then are you, what do we call that? We say that expression in English. Are you proposing? That'd be a nice way to translate tell here, I think. Then are you proposing that there exists a person who thinks that things are coming at them who has also perceived that they, that, and the grammar text says, the grammar text says, when you hit a day, you gotta go fishing. Okay? When you hit a day, you gotta go fishing. Fishing where? The last sentence. You gotta go find out what day's talking about. I'm gonna put an X here, okay? Like this. I like to put this. Who's also perceived that is of the very nature of pain. Okay, got it? Now you gotta go back and look for day. What did the Tsortong see? What did the non-Arya see just in the last sentence? They saw that the body and mind that they took on when they were born were changing, right? So now we're asking, are you saying that they have seen that blank is of the very nature of pain? Oh my God. That is so good. Okay. That must be the char at the bottom of the four swords below the nail. Is that what that is? Huh? Oh, sorry. What am I going to put in there? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, that's a nice gift for everybody on your birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mrs. Happy birthday to you.
So what's the blank? What kind of noun came in the last sentence that they were looking at?
Changing.
The parts. Their body and mind. Okay? Got it? Their body and mind. The heaps that they took on at birth. Okay. Yeah?
You want to put directly perceived?
Yeah, you're right. Has also directly perceived that these parts. I tricked you because I put is. Okay. If I put R, it would have been too obvious. Okay. What do we always say when he says, "You back fail"? Huh? What do we say in Tibet whenever he says, "You back fail"? God, the cupcake like destroyed your minds already. I better have one too. What do we say in Tibetan when some opponent says to us, "Tom, cheer, I didn't say that. You know, what do you say? Why are you saying that? Cheer means what? What the hell are you accusing me of that? I say that all day. Okay. All right. because you agreed. Impermanence of cupcake. You're directly perceiving the impermanence of cupcake. Okay. This is the best pronunciation of the whole class. 1, 2, 3. Just the first line. Dun, dun, dun. Mithede Chirnambale. What's Chirnambale? Abhidhamma. Technically, Abhidhamma is one of the... You need another cupcake or anything? That's what I usually say when I have a problem. Okay. Chirnambale, technically, it can be one of the three pitakas. It's one of the three baskets. It can refer to a huge quantity of scriptures. It can refer to all the scriptures. I think there are seven classic scriptures on Abhidharma. It can refer to that whole group. But most often, in a monastic textbook, Abhidharma will refer to the Abhidharma course, Chimbutsu. So, oops. Well, that is better. Bill? Treasure of higher knowledge. Treasure. He looks like the mouse in the meditation yurt. And yet you can't agree because the treasure of higher knowledge stage. I worked on this text for like, I don't know, 15 years with Rinpoche, and we translated it, the first Dalai's commentary. It's 400 pages, but we never published it. And so I like to go look for quotations in that, because, you know, I was in it, what do you call it, into it at the time. Yeah, these are all the... I think it's in WordPerfect, but we'll see if it happens. Okay, so you go... just in case it's only in English, we might want to look for... we might want to look for an English... a unique English word or terms, right? Any in the first... any that you can see in the first few lines, like Venerable Phil or anybody like that? Yeah, locktail is very uncommon. Do you know what it means? That's why it's uncommon. Okay, locktail means the palm of your hand. Okay. Namdo lakchang, liberation in the palm of your hands, is technically Namdo lakbe tildu musu changpa. Offered into the, a gift offered into the palm of your hand. Okay, so locktail. So we'll look for what in English? I mean, palm surely only occurs once in the whole Abhidharma Kosha, I'm guessing. Okay. So, what's the ugly? Oops. not there. Okay. I don't know if it can say hand. Ooh. Oh boy. I think I'm going to go for children. Where's children here? Yeah, Chiba. Say Chiba.
Chiba.
Children or infant? Child. That's an interesting section about which way the child lies in the womb, if it's a boy or a girl. Or okay. That's a section about how prentas, people in the bardo might look like a child. Their size is that of a child. Those are the conditions for the conception of a child. These are typical people who make a schism in the Sangha, and they're usually intellectual and highly moral. And then it says that they have to be children. That the monks who participate in a schism can't be Aryas, because an Arya wouldn't do that. Wouldn't be involved. Okay. This is a really cool discussion of from 250, was it 350 AD, right? About if an embryo was transferred from one woman's womb to another, and then the child were born, which woman would the child have to kill to commit an immediate misdeed? Yeah, that's extraordinary, right? I don't remember the answer. You'll have to study that. I think it's that the one who did the most work and brought him up, like that, I think.
The one who's egg.
Yeah, is it? I don't
remember. Which one hurt the most? There's something about one parent changes sex. Are they still?
Well, we're up to the fifth chapter. Let's see. Let's try. Oops. All right, we'll just translate it over again. First, let's check and see if it's really Abhidhamma Kosha. All right. Those of you who are learning to translate, how could you pick up a commentary on this in a search without using a child in the palm? See, because the commentary is probably going to say, child here means blah, 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 and in their palm, blah, blah, blah. So you don't want to say child palm. Yeah, you do a proximity search. So if you're going to be a Tibetan translator, you need to do you need to learn proximity searches. Okay? So you see it says nearby in the middle of the black box? And then it'll be within like three lines. Where would you like to look? Would you rather look in the Kangir, the direct speech of Lord Buddha, the Tengir, the ancient Indian commentaries on his speech, or like Choni Dakar Sherpa's commentary? Yeah, I mean, Sumbum's a lot easier. Tibet, I mean, you might hit his auto-commentary, like Vasubandhu's auto-commentary, and that's going to be incomprehensible to a normal human being. So let's look in let's see what the Tibetans have to say. Right? Can we narrow the search? Yeah, Abhidhamma. We don't need to look in Vinaya, we don't need to look in Madhyamika, we don't need to look in Pramana, right? We don't need to look in Pranaparamita. Let's restrict it to the Sutta. I think it's there. Oops, it wasn't there. Let's increase that. What was it? Mumba, maybe. Chimsa is too hard. Sakya commentary from the 13th century. We'll skip that. Oops, it's the only one that talks about it. Alright. So I'm going to translate. Dole Sutra says, it's anything which is changing is suffering. She Sumbechir, it says in Sipa Tamjeni, all of suffering life, Tarpe Mi Tinchok, is working against your liberation. It's like a huge river is working against you as a practitioner. Yinbe, therefore, Papadami Timbe. They won't get along with the Aryas. The world won't get along with the Aryas. Okay? Just by nature. No Beijing. There'll be problems. Doing out and do day. So, this is a kind of suffering. Day chair lo pun ki. Therefore, the master has said. Which master he doesn't say? Laktel punya chidupa minam kini mitola. Laktel means in the palm of the hand. Okay? Punyak chik means a single hair from your eyebrow, you know, like a single short piece of hair. Nyak chik means a single one. Dukpa, lying in the palm of your hand. So, you know, I was getting some of my hair cut yesterday, and there were punyak chiks all over the place. And I was about to go out, you know, and then somebody said, no, you got punyak chiks all over your face, you know, you got these little tiny pieces of hair stuck all over your nose and stuff. So they're trying to get them off. Lamakrishna is trying to get them off, you know. So you take one of those tiny hairs and you put it in your hand and you look at your hand from a distance, right? Then what's he saying? Minam, people, mito. Mito means what? They won't see it, okay? You put a single short hair in a person's palm and they look at it from here, they won't see it. Deni mitu songna ni. Deni mitu songna. But if deni, what's deni? That same thing. Okay, that same thing. Sometimes deni means tattva, emptiness, right? But here it just means that very thing. Put that very thing mitu in their eye. Miga. They won't be happy. And nit, it will hurt them. Nirjaitar. Chiba, like that. Like that. Chiba laktin jawa yi duje dunya punito. Sound familiar? Look at the line that we've been working on in the center of the page in the white. And I'll say his line. 13th century Sakyapa. Chiba, we okay? Chiba. Laktil? Laktil. Dawa. Different, okay? Dabu and Dawa. What's the difference? Same meaning. Probably different translators of the Sanskrit, okay? Dawa yi. Bai. And I'm not even sure that's correct. I think it might not be bai. But anyway, I'm going to read the second line. You ready? Duje? Sing. Dunya? Pu? Mito? Miri? Different. Okay, different translator of an ancient Sanskrit text. Okay. Let's see if the next lines are the same. Now we're going to lose this one. Papa Mikdandawai. Pakpa Mikdan Dharma Ni. Okay, got it? One difference. Te Yi Shindu Yi. Whoa. That's not even poetry anymore. Te Yi Shindu Yi De Kyang Jung. Like it's all messed up, okay? Te Yi Yi Kyang Shindu Jung. Yeah, somebody, okay. But anyway, he might be working with a different translation from the ancient Sanskrit. So, and he didn't say which master, he just said Lopa, the master, right? And no one else has this. So it might not be the Abhidhamma Kosha anyway. And we didn't find it in Roche's translation. So, what do we do?
Go to the
Tengri. Go to the Tengri. Go to the ancient classics. Go to the Sanskrit classics and see. What would be a good way to search like 10,000 pages of Abhidharma literature? What would you look for? Look for weird things near weird things. We happen to have weird things near weird things already. Okay? So here we go. By the way, this is what we go through on your text like 30 times a day, and that's why they take so long. Because the Tibetans have, over the centuries, the books are corrupted. And they're spelled wrong, and they're all wrong. And especially the mantras take weeks, you know. So anyway, here we go. Let's see if it's in the thing. I know this is boring for some of you, but this is what translators do. That's in the Vinaya, we're not interested. Maybe I should have put Lumba, yeah, which is Abhidharma. Dir Mepa, Laktil Punyak Chiktupa, Minangkini Mitog La. Okay. Deni Mikdistongani, Midewada Nukitar. Chiba, now it's not our part, okay? Chiba Laktil Dawa Yi Duche Dunya Bumi Tok Pakpa Mikdang Dawa Ni Te Yi Shindu Yi Kyang Chung. Now, what's Zuran? It's the auto commentary to the Abhidhamma Kosha. It's okay. He's quoting it, but did he write it? We don't know. Let's keep going. Nobody else. Okay. So I think Master Vasubandhu is quoting somebody else. Okay. So he didn't write this, and it's not part of the Abhidhamma Kosha. Our author thought it was. So what do we have to do? Then you go like this, you say, because higher knowledge states, okay? And then it just becomes the literature on higher knowledge, all right?
It does appear in clearer words.
Sorry?
In Tsiksa.
It's also in Tsiksa?
Yeah.
That's a problem. Does he say whose it is? What do you call it? Attribute it? Anybody? That's in. We'll start. I'll tell you what, let's translate it because everybody's going to fall asleep. So, what does it mean? This is really obscure, okay? Here we go. Chiba? Children who are like the palm, right? Cannot see the hair. The piece of hair? How do you... One tiny... Lock is too big. It's gotta be like
eyelash.
Lash of hair, maybe. Lash? cannot see the single lash of hair?
No.
Cannot see the eyelash. The piece of eyelash? Single eyelash.
Single piece of eyelash.
Piece of eyelash? Cannot see the single eyelash.
It's a follicle.
And the pain that covers all pain.
Single space. More alliteration.
And the pain that covers all things. Realized beings. Or like the what? This Shindu Jung is a synonym for Nenju. What's that mean? Sorry? Renunciation. Yeah, it can mean Nirvana also, okay? But it means to really come out, or not to want that thing anymore. So, realized beings who are like the eye, it's that their minds have left that behind. That's good. I like that. Have left it behind within their mind. Okay, what? Left what behind? In the commentary we just had by Master Vasubandhu, he said, even the most beautiful of bodies, okay, even the most beautiful of bodies, they are what? They've left them behind. Like, they're not attracted anymore. You know, like, they've left all that. Okay? They're not attached to even the most beautiful of bodies. Okay? How does this prove what the guy's trying to say? And then you can have Ramakrishna's class, which is more fun. How does it prove what the guy's trying to say? Why did he pull out this quotation? Yeah.
But it's only the Aryas who have understood that subtle kind of suffering.
Yeah. Only an Arya understands the suffering of what object, though? Yeah, their body and their mind. Their body and their mind, right? So it's stated in scripture that people who haven't seen emptiness are like the eyelash. For them, the pain, the third kind of pain is like the eyelash. They are like, he's even comparing them to the eyelash, you see? I'm sorry, they're like the palm. Like the eyelash is there, but they can't see it, right? I'll tell you something, and then let's drop it. Let's pick it up next week, okay? I'll tell you something. If this had been YI instead of YIS, it would mean that that third kind of pain is like a hair in the palm of the hand and cannot be seen by children. But all the sources we have misspell it the same way. So what do you do? We'll leave it like that. We have to change it, I think. Okay. If it was spelled the way I want to spell it, it would say, children can't see the single eyelash of the third kind of suffering, even in the palm of their hand. It's in the palm of their hand, but they can't see it. Right? And then the Aryas, they are like the eye, meaning what? Yeah. You stick the same single hair in the eye itself. And they're like, no, this hurts. This hurts. Okay? And then, so got it? So they're like, they are more sensitive. They get something that the palm doesn't understand. Yeah? It's beautiful. If you read it the way you want it. And that seems to be the way you wanted it. Right? So, Yeah. People haven't seen emptiness directly for them. You could even say maybe they're, can you feel a single hair in your palm? You know, like they're rough. Their perceptions are rough. And they can't feel a single eyelash in the palm of their hand. But in Arya, the same object, meaning the body and mind that they took on at birth, to them it's a constant source of irritation. You know? Like they see it as a constant source of irritation. As an eyelash in the eye. Got it? Something they'd like to get rid of. Let's leave it like that. Then remind me next week, okay? Where we are. But that's what it takes to be a really good translator. Yeah? You have to be able to look. There was one paragraph in all of the tenure Zhe material, right? And only one mention in 50,000 pages of the last 1,000 years of this quotation. And otherwise, it just wouldn't make any sense, okay? Mm. So what do you think? Do people who haven't seen emptiness directly really understand the suffering that pervades all things?
Not according to this.
Yeah, according to this, they don't. Right, Michael's right. Yeah, according to this, they don't. Okay. So can we say that unless you're an Arya, you don't have any direct yogic perceptions?
No, it's not that we don't say that.
Huh? It's almost, all I can say, I mean, we'll look it up next week if you want, but it's almost like a clairvoyance. It's almost like, it's in a deep, it's in a perfect shine, shamatha. You can see things that other people can't see. That's, can they have a direct yogi perception about change?
We do not.
Huh?
We do not say that they cannot.
Yeah, well, yeah. We say they can. We say they can. But that doesn't mean that they have a direct perception of the third kind of change. Got it? So the lesson tonight is there's a distinction between a very subtle kind of change and the change that pervades all things, especially your mind and your body as you get old. Okay? Got it? There's deeper kinds of change than just the wrinkles. Got it? And those are going to get into that question. And if you really want to go home and explore the difference between how the mouse was produced in the factory in progressive stages, plastic, wires, polishing, packaging, right? And its emptiness, which came into being when it was finished. Okay? Alright? Explore that and you will have a... If you don't remember anything else about this semester and you want to see emptiness and you've tried all those Bokjimba things, try this one for a while. What is the difference? Maybe they'll even get into it in Bokjimba eventually. You know, like tonight. Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all. Did you have a question?
Yes, sir. Realized being. We call Arya realized
being. I translate it as realized being. Yeah, and it's different from an enlightened being. And that needs explanation. I hesitate to use the word Arya because all the bad connotations of Nazi and Arya and all that.
Sa shi bu yi zhu shi
So.
Thanks, Ben. Any Ben?